Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. We're going through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be studying together this morning Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. So if you'd like to open up your Bible there and join us in our study in just a moment. If you've missed previous editions of this study of the book of Ephesians or other programs, you can always listen to the Let the Bible Speak program on our website. Just click on the Let the Bible Speak program link on our website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. We've been going through the great book of Ephesians, where Paul talks about our wealth in Christ and our walk in Christ. Paul has written this book to the Ephesian brethren, chapter 1 and verse 1, the saints that are at Ephesus. He had preached the gospel to them in Acts 18 and 19. They obeyed that gospel. They were baptized into Christ. They formed the new local church there, belonging to Christ in the city of Ephesus, a very pagan, idolatrous city. They stood out from the rest of the world and were serving Christ faithfully there. And Paul wanted them to recognize and appreciate the great wealth of blessings that they had in Jesus Christ. And he also wants them to walk daily, a word that Paul uses to describe the daily Christian life, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith they were called. So I've divided the book up into two sections, chapters 1 through 3, our wealth in Christ, and chapters 4 through 6, our walk in Christ. And we've already studied, going through the book, where Paul writes about the wealth of redemption, chapter 1, 3 through 14. In chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Paul has written about the wealth of resources, spiritual resources that they have in Christ, chapter 1, 15 through 23. They have knowledge, they have power, they have Jesus as their head, and so spiritual resources. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul writes about their wealth of regeneration. Regeneration means to be made alive again from the death of sin. And so in chapter 2, verse 5, even when you were dead through our trespasses, when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And so the wealth of regeneration, and then the wealth of reconciliation, to be brought back together. Jews and Gentiles can be united, and all of them can be united together with each other and with God. And so the wealth of reconciliation, chapter 2, 11 through 22. And Paul writes about how that Jesus dying on the cross, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body. So reconciliation. And, you know, there's a lot of division and turmoil even in today's world. In our culture today, we're seeing a lot of discussions about racism and discrimination and black and white and other colors. And it sort of puzzles me that the world is up in arms about that in this sense. Those of us who have been raised in godly homes our entire life with the scripture, we've not known that attitude of racism and discrimination. We've been taught from a youth to love everyone, and all are equal in the sight of God. All are precious in his sight, as we sing, Jesus loves the little children. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And so that's all I've ever known. But the worldly way is that of racism and division and discrimination and mistreatment and that type of thing. But if we will follow the scripture, if we will become a Christian, we understand how that we can be one in Christ. And we've always known that, those of us who have been raised on the scripture. And I'm not saying that in any kind of haughty way or better than you way. I'm just simply saying that there's a difference between being raised in a godly home and in a worldly home. And that's why we need God's word in our life. And so, being reconciled together in Christ. Now, starting in chapter 3, we're going to read in just a moment, verses 1 through 13. We're going to consider Paul's discussion of the spiritual wealth of revelation, God's revealed word through the apostles, written and recorded in Scripture, and we hold it in our hands today, called the New Testament and the Bible, and we have that, and it's a wealth of spiritual blessing to have God's word. We need to be reading it. We need to be studying it. We have a gold mine, as it were, of spiritual blessing between the covers of our Bible. But we've got to put the cell phone down. We've got to get off the internet. We've got to turn the TV off and set aside other things and read God's word if we want to benefit from it. And we're going to learn this morning on the program how that Paul writes that we can read and understand God's will and God's word. In Ephesians 1 through 13, Paul will write about this. The Ephesians have a revelation from God that tells them about the relationship and the responsibilities that they have in Jesus Christ and that they share with one another in the church. In Ephesians 1 through 13, Paul will continue to write about the spiritual wealth that Christians have, and he's going to write about the wealth of revelation that they have from God, which they can know and understand. This revelation from God is called a mystery, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, what that means. Verses 3 and 9, the mystery of Christ, verse 4, it's called the gospel, verse 6. It's called the unsearchable riches of Christ, verse 9. It's called the manifold wisdom of God, verse 10. And so Paul is going to write about and discuss three different aspects of God's revelation. It's mystery, verses 1 through 6. It's ministry, through the apostles, verses 7 through 9, and its manifold wisdom, verses 10 through 13. So let's see how that unfolds today on the program, and I'm glad that you're with us. Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, in behalf of you Gentiles, if so be that you have heard of the dispensation of that grace of God which was given me to youward, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it has now been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. That is, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of that grace of God which was given me according to the working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages has been hid in God who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access in confidence through our faith in Him. Wherefore I ask that ye may not faint at my tribulations for you, which are your glory. Paul is going to talk about God's revelation. And in verses 1 through 6, he's going to talk about the mystery of that revelation. Paul begins this section with the words, "for this cause," in verse 1. With these words, "for this cause," Paul links what he has just written about reconciliation with what he is about to write, revelation. So the reconciliation brought about by Christ on the cross will be revealed, and people can be told that through the revelation. The reconciliation is learned by the revelation. Paul opens this section with a description of himself as the prisoner of Christ Jesus, because he was in prison, Acts chapter 28. Remember, we made the point at the beginning of this series that Ephesians is one of four prison epistles, while Paul is in prison at Rome in Acts chapter 28, around 60 to 63 AD. He's a prisoner. You can also see that in Philemon verse 1. And you'll notice in verse 13 that he talks about his tribulations. So he was in prison in Rome at the time that he wrote this Ephesian letter. And he's wanting to encourage the brethren at Ephesus. And that's a great lesson from the Apostle Paul. He's not sitting in a prison cell sulking and bemoaning his situation and woe is me and trying to seek pity from individuals. But he's confined, but the word of God is not bound. He will even say that in 2 Timothy. He would physically be limited where he could go, but his attitude in writing these letters was certainly not limited, and he wanted to help his brethren even while he himself was confined in prison. What a great and noble attitude. And so, he's the prisoner of the Lord. You'll see this also in chapter 4 and verse 1. In chapter 6 and verse 20, if you go to the end of the book, he describes himself as an ambassador in chains. So Paul had a chain, but it was like a house arrest where he could receive people and have limited contact with individuals. And so people would come and go to visit Paul, and he would write these letters and give them to individuals, and then they would take them back to the brethren to whom he is writing. In this case, Tychicus, chapter 6 and verse 21, will deliver this letter to the brethren at Ephesus. And so Paul was a prisoner of the Lord, and he was an apostle chosen by God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, in behalf of you Gentiles, verse 1. Paul wanted to serve others, and that's a great attitude for us today. He preached to some Jews. We know that from the book of Acts. He would go into the synagogues. But his primary mission was to the Gentiles. And Paul says the dispensation. This refers to God's stewardship, one version says. It's a idea of management or administration or being put in charge of preaching the gospel. So managing spiritual blessings given to mankind through Jesus. A management that involves an apostleship, a preaching of the word of God, and in verse 2, of that grace of God which was given to me. And so Paul understood that he had a stewardship, a management position to fulfill in preaching the gospel to others. And he wanted to be a good manager of that work that was given to him by God. And those spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ. These divine spiritual blessings were revealed to Paul in the gospel so that he could deliver them to the Gentiles. God gave his word to Paul by revelation. He talks about that more in Galatians chapter 1, how that he did not receive this by man, but it was given to him by revelation through Jesus Christ. And so revelation means an uncovering, an unveiling, to unveil the truth. And God had revealed or uncovered or unveiled his will and his truth to Paul. And Paul was to take that and deliver it to others. The mystery of God is God's plan of salvation through Christ. And it's revealed to mankind in the New Testament gospel. And this word mystery throws people off. A lot of people think, well, that something is mysterious. You don't really know what it is. But Paul is simply using a word that was known at that time to mean previously unveiled, but now veiled. Previously uncovered, but now, previously covered, excuse me, but now uncovered. Previously veiled, but now unveiled. And Paul wrote down and recorded what God revealed to him. Paul is probably referring to what he had written earlier in Ephesians 1 and 2 rather than some other letter. When he says, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read you could perceive my understanding. But whether it's the beginning of the book of Ephesians or some other letter that Paul had written, the main thing is the Christians then and all people today can read and perceive, understand what Paul understood and wrote down in the gospel. There are a lot of people today that say, you know, the Bible is too hard to understand, and that's just simply not true. We can read and understand what Paul understood. We might get help from time to time, but we can understand the Word of God. And there have been abuses with regard to this. Some denominations, some churches have said that you cannot understand the Bible. You have to have it explained to you by the priesthood. There has to be special revelations given so that you can understand the Word of God. Some cults will do that. And that's just simply not true. And we need to remember that we can open up and read the Bible for ourselves. During the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church, for example, kept the Bible from people. Bibles were chained to the pulpit. The services were done in Latin so that only the hierarchy or the priesthood would truly understand what was being spoken. Many people didn't even understand Latin, especially in the English-speaking countries of the Middle Ages. And so people didn't understand, they didn't know. And that was by design. And one thing that came out of the Reformation movement was more people learning and reading in their own language God's Word. And then they could decide for themselves what God wanted for their lives. It didn't have to be explained through a particular priesthood or hierarchy. And so the Reformation really changed the way people look at the Word of God. And so we can read and understand it. However, it's unfortunate that many people today, there are Bibles everywhere, but people do not have the desire to read and understand. There are many people that have hardened hearts. Jesus talked about that in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. And Paul in Acts chapter 28, when he's in Rome, he talks about even some Jews want to have a hardness of heart. And they don't want to understand. They don't want to know. And so it's up to you, friends, if you want to know God's word or not. You have to put forth that right attitude. God is not going to force you to know His word and His will. God's plan of salvation, Paul writes about in chapter 3, was through Christ. It was for the Gentiles. And in other generations, it was not made known like it was made known in the gospel dispensation. So during the period of the Apostle Paul, God is fully making known more of His will. God had made known in the past that the Gentiles would be saved through the coming Messiah, Isaiah 11, verse 10, it was prophesied, but not so well known as the same way that we find here in Paul's day. And so it's made known even more. The plan of salvation was revealed to God's holy apostles and the prophets. So we think of the 12 apostles, and of course, Matthias was added. Paul himself was an apostle out of due season. The prophets, men and women in New Testament, in the New Testament church that have the gift of prophecy through the Holy Spirit. So between the apostles and the prophets, God's word is being revealed in the first century, recorded and written down, and it's what we call the 27 books of the New Testament. In the Spirit means that these men and women, the apostles and prophets in the New Testament church, were given God's word spiritually by the Holy Spirit. They were Holy Spirit inspired of God, 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21. And the apostles and prophets then form the foundation of the church, Christ being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2, verse 20. And so that body of teaching becomes the foundation. They were given by Christ to the church as gifts. We're going to read about that later in chapter 4, verse 11, apostles and prophets. It's a gift to the church. These individuals who could reveal God's word given by Christ when He ascended back into heaven. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, if you come on down there, you'll find that Paul explains what is the message or content of the mystery. God's mystery or plan of salvation is that the Gentiles, one, can be fellow heirs, receive spiritual blessings, fellow members, and fellow partakers. The Gentiles can now be fellow heirs with the Jews because they both belong to the same spiritual family and will receive the same spiritual inheritance, forgiveness of sins, and other spiritual blessings. They both will share the same spiritual birth, John 3, 5, being born again of water and spirit. They can be fellow members with the Jews in the body of Christ because they have been baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13. And they can be fellow partakers with the Jews of the promise to Abraham because they both have been blessed in Christ. So, together, unity. That's what we had talked about before in chapter 2, the latter part of chapter 2 with regard to reconciliation, being one. And here we find it again with the word fellow, fellow heirs, fellow members, fellow partakers. And so they're one, they're united in Christ, and that's a great thing. And that's what we can have today in our divided world. If we will be Christians, it doesn't matter what color our skin is, we can work and worship together, we can help each other, we can get along with each other, we can serve each other, take care of each other, and that's Christ's plan. We've got to get Christ into our lives, and a lot of this racial animosity and division and so forth will go away. Coming out of chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, Paul was a minister or servant of the gospel. He served God and preached the word. Paul was made a minister of the gospel to preach the gift of that grace of God. He talks about the working of His power. Paul was able to do his work because of the grace of God. Paul is also very humble. He describes himself as least of all the saints. And what a great attitude for us. And he was going to preach to make all men see He was going to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that was his work, and he fulfilled that to the best of his ability. Paul's ministry involved making all men see the mystery of God, that is, to bring it to light. And we can see that today and know that today. So Paul talks about his important ministry of preaching the Word of God, and he says that he's a humble individual, but he has a great work of taking the unsearchable riches of Christ to others. And friends, you and I can have that even today as well. And then in verses 10 through 13, Paul's ministry was not just for the benefit of mankind in the earthly realm, but also for the supernatural, which is interesting. Paul's work of preaching the gospel let the supernatural know some things. The word principalities literally means beginning. It refers to government or rule, and Paul uses the word here to refer to supernatural beings such as angels who exercise rule. And so even they would be able to see the revelation. Paul refers to principalities and authorities. Everything that Paul preached about the New Testament church makes known the manifold wisdom of God, not just to individuals, but also to angels. And that's an impressive thing. The gospel and the wisdom of God is according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. And those who reject the gospel in the New Testament reject God's eternal plan to save mankind. Let's not turn away from that manifold wisdom of God. And God's wisdom is best, not the world, but God's wisdom. According to verse 12, if you come down there, the Ephesian Christians have two things because of their faith in Christ. They have boldness, meaning the absence of fear, and courage, and they have confidence. I won't take time this morning to go through the details of that statement, through our faith in him. Some believe that is Jesus' own personal faith. Some believe that it is a reference to the gospel of Jesus. I believe the better understanding in the immediate context and other places, it's a reference to our faith in Jesus. And when we have that faith in Christ, we have boldness and we have confidence. Because the Ephesian Christians had that, Paul requested that they faint not or be discouraged. Paul is suffering tribulations. He is in prison, but they could be strong. They know that Paul is suffering for a noble cause, and he wanted them to focus on the glory that his suffering would bring them, not the pain that it would bring him. What a beautiful thought. And so the blessings of revelation. Let's be reading and studying and knowing the Word of God, and we'll receive those same blessings. Thank you for joining us this morning on the program, and I hope you'll have a good day.